Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Go Higher West Yorkshire UniConnect podcast. We're having a little bit of a special episode this week where we're going to be talking about some digital skills. To do that, we've got a couple of different guests in. So I'm delighted to announce that the OG presenter of the Go Higher West Yorkshire podcast, Charlotte Garfer, is here to join us. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, Jake. You all right?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
How does it feel to be back behind the mic?
Brilliant.
Missed it.
Yes, I have. I'm very excited to be here.
Charlotte ran our very original Go Highway Yorkshire podcast during lockdown, which was the beautiful inspiration behind this series. So massive shout out to Charlotte. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about digital skills, aren't we?
We are, yes.
So Charlotte, do you want to introduce yourself, your role, and maybe just talk to us what we mean when we say digital skills and how students can identify what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, hi everyone. I work for the UniConnect programme with Jake. I'm based here in Leeds, starting out at Leeds City College and now working for the project more centrally, which means I get to do loads of exciting things like creating resources and doing things like this, which is great. Recently, as part of my job, I've created some resources on digital skills, which you are welcome to go and access on the website if you want to find out more about what digital skills are and how you can develop your confidence with them. Digital skills are anything really to do with being online, using digital platforms, using the internet. So you'll all be using digital skills every day, whether that's going on social media, whether that's using search engines, whether that's sending emails or using online application forms. It sounds like pretty basic day-to-day stuff, but actually it's something that's really valuable and really important to begin developing and feeling confident with for when you move into higher education. You might go and get a degree, you might go on to an apprenticeship, you are going to eventually move on into the world of work, and digital skills are something that employers really look for and really value.
Definitely. And I feel like a lot of people that are going to be hopefully listening to this podcast are a generation of people that have grown up with a phone in their hand, they've had iPads and laptops and all sorts of stuff. So a lot of these things are going to sound, oh, that's really basic, I knew that. But actually, it's how you apply them. And I think sort of you say, oh, I know how to use an email, that's a digital skill, I can do that easily. But it's how you speak in an email, it's how you come across in an email, how you present yourself professionally. And all that sort of stuff is really key and influential when you're going on into further education. As Charlotte said, but going into a job. I do also really appreciate the early plug of our resources on the website. As always, links will be on our website, our Spotify description, wherever you're listening to this. But to do justice to this topic, Charlotte, I guess I've got my experience within sort of working in a higher education institution, and so have you, sort of working at Leeds City College and on this project. But I think it's also important to realise that there is a element of that that comes from a professional sense, an employer-based sense. So to do that, we've got another guest on the podcast this episode. So Rebecca, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh my gosh, hi guys. So I'm Rebecca Jackson. I'm a client service director at an agency called Definition. So I have been working, we are a PR, public relations, reputation management specialist agency based in Leeds, and I've been there nearly 10 years now. And previous to that, I was actually trained as a journalist. So I guess I've been, you know, out of higher education for about, oh gosh, longer than I'd care
to
think
to
about.
You don't have probably to, like, you don't have to put a number on it. And you can lie as well.
Okay,
you want to say, oh,
yeah,
like
yeah, just 5 years,
can...
guys. No, I've been working for probably 13 years, and even the change that I've seen, I think, in terms of digital skills has been huge in that time. And in my role at Definition, I'm part of kind of the recruitment process and looking at all the CVs and applications that come in, as well as looking at kind of work placements and experience. So see a lot of different kind of inquiries, and also looking at how digital skills can really benefit people within the team as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I suppose you get kind of like a really cool double perspective of that, because like with you're seeing applications come in, so you're seeing people put those digital skills into practice.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you also get to see people working in the company using those skills. So it's kind of a really cool double-edged sword, which ties in really nicely to how we're saying that using these skills and developing these skills will help you not only get a job, but also be successful in your job, mm-hmm. Which I think is really, really interesting. Can you tell us any of your clients that you have in your PR company? Is anyone really sort of interesting or crazy?
So we're a specialist, like I said, a reputation management firm, which I appreciate that sounds like a lot of jargon, but basically we work with businesses in a range of sectors, so like professional services. I work in health and charity, but also things like fintech, engineering and STEM. We work with clients to raise their profile in kind of traditional media and also digital media, so social media and kind of search engines, websites and stuff. Yeah. So we have a really wide kind of range of clients. So I work with, I did the Dry January campaign for Alcohol Change.
Cool.
So that was a really fun one and, you know, really powerful, really making a difference. I've worked with big energy brands like Utilita Energy, which was a bit of a startup. Did a lot of football sponsorship, which was really exciting because I love Leeds United. We got to do a lot with Leeds.
We'll leave Leeds, let Leeds United.
Sorry, guys. A bit of a variety of really well-known brands and just kind of smaller charities and organisations. But as we're part of a bigger communications group, so there's about six agencies within the group.
Yeah.
And they've worked for, we have a brand strategy agency based in Manchester who work with Merlin, so they've done a lot with Alton Towers, David Lloyd Gyms.
Oh, wow.
We've got a design agency in London who work with, House of Parliament doing their annual reports. So it's a real variety of kind of work.
As you say, there's a huge, huge variety there of different types of industries, different types of companies, different like ethos and like in all of those, I think, which really highlights that like you're working with all these companies across the country digitally. Like you are having to send emails to them, you're having to do Skype calls, Teams calls, other channels are available. So you're having to sort of focus on all that. So do you think that obviously the digital skills and like sort of sending emails and that professional tone that you set, do you think that's different depending on the client? Do you have to talk to them differently?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, my role is very much client service. So I'm working with the client, kind of making sure that they're aware of the work that we're doing, building that relationship. So it's really important to be professional, but also be appropriate. So some clients are really informal and friendly and want to hang out with you. And that's okay. You can match that kind of energy and relationship, but it's always got to be appropriate. So, no kisses on the ends of emails or, you can do a smiley face if it's the right client, but it might be someone in a big law firm.
You've got to be careful with your emojis.
Exactly. Yeah. You do. Yeah.
That's very fair. with that, I guess, as I sort of said, it's all online. So the online presence as well of your when you're hiring people, but also the people within your company, do you think that's an important element of digital skills?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I think we all saw the Gary Lineker kind of Twitter storm the other week, which I think was a real important kind of lesson for people in just making sure that your social media is appropriate, looking at what you're saying and whether it's right for your audience, for your employer, for a future employer. When I get kind of job inquiries and they've got links to social media channels, we'll have a look at those.
Yeah.
So if you're on Twitter and you're just putting, you're criticising a rival football team constantly, and you're getting really aggressive and you think, actually, that's not appropriate. That's not what we want to see from a future employee. You might have, if you're as old as me, you might have a Facebook account that you've not used for 5 years. And if it's still public, people can see that. They can see your pictures of nights out that might not be appropriate for kind of future employers to see. So it's just about if you're applying for a job or if you're thinking about, furthering your career, whether that's going to uni or whatever you're doing, just having a quick audit of those social channels, seeing what other people can see. If you want to keep it, make it private and, still use it with your friends that way. But just be really conscious that everything you put online has a digital trail, so will be seen at some point.
Definitely, yeah. And I think, Charlotte, as well with that, it's worth highlighting that you've got to be careful, you've got to be cautious and you've got to be aware of what you're putting on. But in that same sense, you can use it to your advantage, can't you? Do you think it's important to have an online presence, sort of with LinkedIn, with Instagram. Sort of, there's so many different industries where having an online portfolio and presence is like is really key and useful. Like especially LinkedIn, I feel that's something that's really like boomed over the last sort of like I don't know sort of 5 to 10 years. I feel like LinkedIn's really taken off. I never had a LinkedIn account when I was sort of the age of people that are coming through this sort of applying for university and apprenticeships and stuff now. What's your thoughts on that?
So obviously a lot of young people have social media, and I think it can be a fantastic tool, like you said. I think sometimes, particularly maybe over our conversation today, it might sound scary, like, oh, don't yeah. be careful about what you post and everyone's going to see it, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously it's social media can be used for a lot of good. It's a fantastic tool in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think what's great is that a lot of young people through social media are really confident with using digital platforms now, which yeah. is great. It can be used to your advantage, definitely. I think obviously it depends on what you're interested in doing. It depends on what you're interested in going into.
Yeah.
So I think for certain careers, you know, it's probably more important than others. So if you do want to go into anything that is related to the digital sector, anything that is kind of related maybe to the creative sector, yeah. Anything where you want into, I mean, and that's just a couple of examples, anything where you're wanting to get yourself out there and network, and maybe even things like, I don't know if you're interested in going into law, for example. It's a difficult industry to get into, and if you Definitely. Can get yourself out there and network and meet people through LinkedIn and different online platforms, then it can be definitely used to your advantage. And, you know, we encourage people to have a look at LinkedIn and see if they want to set up a profile on there, or even if it's not LinkedIn, I think, you know, it's just being conscious of, yeah, still being conscious of what you pop on there. I think obviously with Rebecca's examples of with your tweets, that's like personal things.
Yeah.
But you've got to understand that there's not really a line between...
Once you put it out there, it's
exactly.
For to
Once
see,
you put it out there, it's out there. So I think it's just enjoying it and using it for your enjoyment, but also just being aware of what you put out there. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a very good message to be taken from having a private Instagram and having a private Twitter account. If you wanna put funny memes on, or I can't be able to say memes. Is it memes still? It's like GIFs now. I don't know. I've shown my age.
I'm not. I heard that word for a
memes.
Few years. To be fair,
of course, haven't. Maybe they're bad. But you can have your private account, and you can do all that, and then your professional account, which is your public one, which people can see and access. You act like a professional on it, and you can you use that to your advantage. So, as an employer, Rebecca, if you were going to look through that, would you be more concerned if there was a load of private accounts, or how would you?
To be honest, yeah, because I don't want it to sound like I'm saying to everyone, like, have no personality yeah. online and just be really cautious, because you do have to be cautious, but it's also kind of proportionate and appropriate, because
yeah.
like, we're not expecting people, especially, you know, graduates or school leavers, to have no personality because, you know, we're in a creative industry. That's what
yeah,
we want
definitely.
To hear from people. It's just what is appropriate and not... yeah, not unprofessional and inappropriate. Mm. So, I mean, myself, I have a private Twitter account. Sometimes I might post about political things, and then I think if I had a client that was, you know, other politics to me, I wouldn't want them to see that and
yeah.
think that, you know, maybe we wouldn't get on. So I have a private account, but then also in my bio, I say views represented in my own and not of those of my employers.
Yeah, of course.
Which I think Gary Lineker now has to do
yeah.
going forward.
She has a lot of hoops Gary Lineker now has
yeah.
to jump through.
But yeah, like, there's I think it's good advice to have, you know, private and professional if you're that way inclined. But also you can still have a public account, but just kind of be measured.
Yeah.
And being creative is such a big part of
Definitely.
The role. So if we get applications and people have included their social media channels, then we will look at them.
Yeah.
I think LinkedIn, quite often people connect with me on LinkedIn if they've applied for a job, which I always think is quite a good move as well.
Yeah. I think sometimes especially if you're connecting via LinkedIn when you've applied for a job, you're very much upfront and saying, take a look, I've got nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. Like, and people, they include it on their CV. I know a lot of people, especially if they're applying for creative, whether it's creative courses or creative jobs, because I think it's something that can be, when you're applying to not only jobs, but when you're applying to higher education, and if you want to go to college or you want to go to university or apprenticeships, these people are looking at this stuff now. And like we've said, it can have a real negative, but actually as well, I know when I've got jobs before where I'm sure they've looked at my background, my CV, my social media, and seen, oh, that person, they know how to do that. I hadn't mentioned that, but it sort of sticks in their head, doesn't it? You get a taste of their personality, what they like to work with, what maybe skills they've got that they haven't necessarily realised themselves and sort of advertised. So it can be a real positive tool as well, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes, you know, when we're deciding in the recruitment process, I say sometimes, but actually a lot of the time, it's down to whether we want to work with someone and the kind of attitude they have. So if you can see a part of that, you know, part of their personality on social media, definitely. I think that is a positive as well.
We had a other podcast that you can listen to. We had an apprenticeship episode, which is our second episode, I think. And we had the guest on there was saying the exact same thing, where they can teach you the skills. They can teach you the job role. But what they're looking for is the person, the personal skills and the communication skills and what they're like as a person. Are they eager? Are they motivated? And I think that's something that going forward, that employers and education providers are really going to be looking for those things. And then they can apply all that stuff to that person, but they want the right person. So yeah, it's using your digital presence to make sure that you're the right person. That's really cool. Something else that we sort of look at when we're thinking about digital skills, although it is sort of mainly about having your presence online, it's about keeping your presence online safe. So Charlotte, I'm going to come back to you again with this, really. Do you think some people are a bit too lenient and a bit too overconfident online, and maybe they need to be a bit more switched on and a bit more secure with their sort of social media accounts and things like that?
Yeah, I think obviously a big part of using the internet is knowing how to use it safely. And again, this all links into, you know, if you're looking at your future prospects and things like that, it's important to know how to use the internet safely for yourself, but also for your employer.
Yeah,
they're going to know that they're employing someone who has an awareness of the data and the information that they're handling and how to keep that secure, because going back to what we've just said, as soon as you've put something on the internet, it's going to stay on there. So you need to know how to keep these things safe. So having secure passwords, looking out for phishing emails, which are a really common thing, sadly, nowadays. So knowing that if you get an email from someone who you don't know, whether that's at work or outside of work, is that actually a legit email, or are they wanting to get bank details or personal information off you, whatever
scammers.
That is?
Scammers. Are out there.
So, I think, you know, there's so much to it. And again, this isn't just talking about the context of work. It's just about keeping yourself personally safe. I think it's knowing if you complete an online application form and they're asking for, again, going back to the phishing email thing, too many details, you might want to check that you're definitely completing the right thing. If you are popping your bank details online all the time, you know, for online purchases and things like that, just being conscious of that and knowing kind of how to keep that safe. It's something that we're not really taught in school or college. We're not really taught about this kind of thing. I think it's something that nowadays we're almost just expected to know because it's such a big part of our everyday lives. But actually, if no one's teaching you that kind of stuff, you might not necessarily know about it. So again, 100%. Little plug, but if you want to have a little look at the resource online, there's a lot that kind of goes through how to identify a phishing email, how to set secure passwords. Rebecca, I don't know what you think about this, but I guess when you employ someone, you want to know that they have an awareness of this kind of stuff and that they are going to be trusted, I guess, using the internet while they're at work and with your information.
Yeah, I guess because they have access to, you know, our server. All employers have access to our server, which includes client information, and we do have like a rigorously checked server. So we do keep everything secure, but it is about using, I was going to say common sense, but it's not even common sense sometimes, because the scammers are so clever these days. So it's just about being cautious and, you know, practicing caution when you get emails. So I mean, we have had incidents where people have used the names of senior people within our team and then sent it out to like the whole agency, and then you would just read that and think, okay, that's my boss emailing me.
Yeah.
So it's practicing caution. We do, I think, like most big businesses, we do regular check-ins with people and making sure we do training on how to recognize some of the more sophisticated scamming emails, and we tell clients to do it as well, especially when we're looking at business critical projects, just making sure that they're
really
constantly
switched on with it and engaged with it.
It's like constantly evolving, so it's really difficult to actually say that you can ever be on top of it. You just got to always be practicing caution. And so as part of our induction process, we do kind of teach people kind of our servers and our systems and how we use them and things to look out for. But it's constantly evolving, I guess.
Something else worth touching on, Charlotte, from the work you've done looking at digital skills, is probably sort of referencing and checking your references and the websites you're accessing. Do you want to just sort of touch on that quickly and how people can be a bit more cautious with that?
Yeah, again, a big element of kind of moving into higher education is being able to carry out online research. Again, you might have started to do this like at school and college as part of your A-levels or BTECs, but knowing how to find reliable information online. Again, it might not sound particularly exciting, but when you're starting to write those essays or look for jobs, you want to know that what you're finding is reliable and it's relevant. So just, again, simple things like not using Wikipedia for your absolute 100% knowledge on everything.
Anyone can change Wikipedia. I have found out before.
If you're finding job opportunities, check the website. You might actually realise that that is 3 years outdated. You've got yourself really excited. You're all ready to apply. Oh wait, this link's really old and this was available 3 years ago. I know, Rebecca, you mentioned about like the way things are presented online, and like when people are researching your company, I guess you need to be aware of like what's coming up top on the Google search and things like that.
Yeah, sure. So if we get job applications, I can always tell if someone's actually read our website before, and you know, you'll always get an email being like, I really want to work for Definition, but they never say, if they don't say why, I think you're just saying this to everyone.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't need to be like an hour's deep delve into the website. It's literally go on the website of where you're wanting to apply for a job, look at what they've done recently, drop that into your email, say, oh, I saw you won this award, or I saw you're working with this company. It shows that you've taken that little bit of time and effort to look at the organization and why you'd be a good match. So, you know, for me, I work in the, I was really interested in charity. So when I was applying for this job that I'm in now, it was seeing all those charity projects that the organisation had done and was like, that's what's meaningful to me. That's what makes me want to work there. But also going back to just talking about like online resources, we're seeing more and more, you know, using ChatGPT to write content. So I know that it can be really tempting to use ChatGPT for just everything.
Yeah.
And it's really useful, I think, for getting creative ideas. Like this morning, I asked it to write, you know, 10 names of something for me to get me thinking about stuff. But, you know, we can tell if something has been written by AI.
Yeah.
So just if you're going to use it for inspiration, but not to kind of not the final product.
It's good,
exactly.
But it's not that good.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's still learning, guys. It's like 3 years behind still.
Yeah. I think that literally sort of parallels what you should be doing when you're applying for apprenticeships and for university and sort of colleges and stuff. They can tell if you've gone on the website and sort of had a look through. And I think what Charlotte's saying is that it's go on the website and check that it's the right information, because there's going to be nothing worse for your application for university or a job or anything than thinking you're really clever and really smart and looking amazing by putting all this information in, but you've got it from Wikipedia or from an article or somewhere that's not reliable. And actually putting that information in is going to really hinder yourself and hinder your chances of making it onto that course or getting offered an interview, because they're going to just think this person hasn't done their research. They don't know what they're talking about, and it's going to be a really negative impact. Perfect. Thank you both so much for coming on to the podcast. It's been an amazing, amazing chat with both of you. And I think digital skills are something that, like we sort of said at the top, like people don't realise that they need to still develop these skills and they need to be aware of them. So I guess to sort of round off our bit of our chat here, is there sort of things, Charlotte and Rebecca, if you want to sort of jump in as well, that students that are now in school, they're in college, listening to this podcast, what can they do? What can they start doing to improve their digital skills?
So I think, and this isn't just the case of digital skills, this is just general, I guess, skill development, but getting a part-time job, work experience, volunteering experience, any experience you can begin building up where you're going to be in that work setting or that professional setting is really going to help you with things like understanding how to write a professional email, writing job applications online, researching online. So that's a really great place to start.
Definitely.
Having a bit of a play around with different online programs. So I know a lot of you will already use things like Google Docs or Microsoft Word to kind of write assignments, but having a bit of a look at how to use PowerPoint and Excel and
Adobe is there products, any or stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Is there any opportunity to use these in your classwork at the minute, or are there any things you can kind of get involved with at school or college that are going to help you develop your skills in this area? So again, it's not something that is actually covered day to day a lot, but if you can put yourself out there a little bit, recognize what would be useful to develop on and see if there's any opportunities either at school or if you can have a look at these at home in your own time,
Definitely. Then
go for it. I think that's the main way to start developing this, really.
Definitely. I think even listening to this podcast is a really good first step.
Absolutely.
So if you've reached this point, then you've done a lot of the groundwork, and thank you for still being here. But you've done a lot of the groundwork and you're really progressing towards that. But I think it's important to sort of mention the other support that's available. There is sort of online, you have all sorts of different types of training, and there's so many YouTube videos now on sort of all these different things that we've spoken about, telling you how to do it, the best way to do it. Again, use your referencing skills, check that it's reliable and that it's almost a good source. But also when you're in school and you're in that day to day, those teachers and those people that are coming around asking you what do you want to do in the future, what do you want to do, they know all this stuff. They are there to support you. They'll have sort of tasks you can do, they'll have little assignments you can do, they'll have resources that can tell you exactly how to do all these things. There is support available for you, and that support continues through into your education in a higher sense. So if you're going on to university or apprenticeships, that support's there for you. When you go into a job, again, that support is there for you. There are human resources teams, there are IT teams, there are all sorts of different people and resources available to help you. And if you're struggling with any of these things, there'll be someone else out there who has also struggled and has gone to get that support. The people that are offering the support, it's their job. It's not a burden on them. I think that's something we really try and are quite keen to encourage on this podcast, that all these things that we're talking about, we're paid to help you and to support you in doing it. But all these teams in your school, in the institutions, in every kind of sort of place you might end up going in the future, every industry, everything, there's someone there to support you. So take advantage of that and really use it. Yeah, that's kind of it for our chat on digital skills. Thank you so much, Charlotte and Rebecca, for joining me today. I really loved having you both here. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
I hope this little special edition of the Go High West Yorkshire Uni Connect podcast has been good. Thank you both, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys.